Welcome back to Sounds of the Season as we continue our journey along the path of music discovery this summer. This week, we're pleased to have joining us a voice of music in the Central New York community, Jess Novak. Jess, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So your involvement musically in Syracuse is somewhat diverse. You perform as a solo artist. You also front the Jess Novak Band, and you're also a contributor to the Syracuse New Times. So if we're going to back things up, what do you sort of attribute your evident passion to music?
Oh, that's a good question. So my mom's name is Melody. So there's some music in the family. And I have an R on my wrist with a music note for Restivo, because that was her side of the family, and they were all musicians professionally. So it's definitely a blood thing for me. And what's funnier still is that my mom doesn't play anything and she can't sing. So it kind of skipped her, but it definitely found me and my brother, and a lot of my cousins also play professionally as well. So it was just kind of a natural thing. And I remember when I was a kid, I was kind of lost in it. I remember I wanted to take piano, but my mom said, nope, I don't know a piano teacher, but I know a violin teacher. So we're going to do that. And so I started with violin, but I remember being so frustrated because I loved classical music, but I wasn't passionate about it. So I remember saying, like, I want to play violin, but like Jimi Hendrix on violin. And everybody just thought I was crazy. But now that's kind of what I do. So it's really, it finally happened. It took a while, but I figured it out.
So did you sort of grow up around music then?
Sort of. So I didn't know it was like my great grandfather and his brothers that were the musicians. Mm-hmm. And so I never got to meet them, but heard all their stories. And then it was really my brother, who's 10 years older than me, who started playing bass guitar and introduced me to Jaco Pastorius and Cream and Kool and the Gang and all these bands that are still my favorites. And that's when I really was like, well, this is my stuff. This is it. So,
as an artist, you always hear that artists are sort of waiting to break out or get that break. Do you sort of remember when you, for lack of a better phrase, broke through as an artist?
So there are a couple of things that like changed me musically. And the first one was, I remember when American Idol started, mm-hmm. and every girl would come out and sing Son of a Preacher Man. And I thought, like, I wasn't a singer at that point. I really didn't sing at all. And I remember thinking, like, I can do that song better than her. Like, why is she on TV? And like, I can do that. So I remember having the thought in my brain, like, this is something I want to do, but kind of a downside to playing classical music is you get ranked all the time. Or if you try to study music in school, you get just judged constantly and told what you're doing wrong, and you have to do it like this. And like I said before, that wasn't really my thing. I like feeling music, and not to say there isn't right and wrong in that, but it was too strict for me. So I had this feeling that I couldn't do it because all my life I was second chair and second violin, you know, and told like you're not good enough. But if you're expressing yourself and your music, I mean, it's not about being good enough. It's about being yourself. And so that's why there's so many different types of music. And so that was a breakthrough moment when I even just realized that there is a place for my music. And maybe it's not technically as good as this, but it's its own thing. So that's what makes it special. So that was, I mean, my late 20s when I finally figured that one out. So it took a while to get there.
So do you think that the popularizing of shows like American Idol and The Voice, have you seen sort of an increase in people who are stepping out and trying things musically because of those shows that they're seeing, and maybe having a moment like you had where they said, I can do that better than this person?
Yeah, I think there's definitely ups and downs to shows like that. I think people look at that then and just think, oh, I can sing, so I can do it. And oh my gosh, there's just so much more to music than that. And so in that way, I think it can be detrimental that people think it's such a simple thing and like, oh, I'm just a great singer, so I can do it. And so they fail to recognize how difficult music is and how much there is to it. And you never stop learning. You never stop trying and growing. But on the plus side, like, I run an open mic and I love seeing people express themselves. I think it's just smart to keep your head on straight about it, like what your goals are in it. And, you know, if you really want to be a professional musician, it's, I think, the hardest thing in the world to do it. And you're going to make a lot of sacrifices to even try, you know. So there's definitely good and bad aspects to it.
Early in your career, as you're sort of starting to form who you're going to be, can you recall if there was a particular artist or song that when you heard it, you thought, you know, that's the space I want to occupy. What's being done here, that's the kind of thing I want to be doing.
I think it's important and kind of natural as an artist that artists that you hear and like and gravitate towards influence you. But for me, definitely, it hasn't ever been like, I want to be them. I want to do what they do. It's like, I want to digest what they do and then reinterpret it in my own way. So for me, it wasn't about occupying a space. It was about internalizing aspects that I like about their music. So like Nick Acosta or Gwen Stefani, or like, I'm a huge fan of just super powerful females who kind of break the boundaries. Don't just sit and play softly, but like really give it. Like, I just learned Alanis Morissette, You Ought to Know. And it's like, that's such a liberating song. It's just so raw. And I love women who do that. But then if you listen to my songs, most of them are not like that. But that's how I interpreted it. I'm still, I think, powerful in a lot of my songs, but not necessarily in the ways they are. So it's just, I think it's a really cool thing when artists do that. Not copy, but just reinterpret what they love.
It's summertime. It's a time for vacations, road trips. You're going on a road trip. You're building a playlist. What's your first song? What kicks off the playlist?
Yeah, this was a hard one to think about.
Because it really should be a tone setter.
It probably really should. Yeah, there was a trip I took with my brother right out of college. We went to Nashville, and he put on Tom Petty, Running Down a Dream, and, like, I feel like that's the song. I don't know, something about it is just, I'll never get it out of my head as the way to start a trip. So I think Petty wins.
Do you have a way you build a playlist? I know some people who, they like to gradually build. They like to start slow and then they crank it up. Some people like to blow the doors off at the beginning and then sort of mix and match throughout. Do you have some sort of a playlist philosophy?
A playlist philosophy? It depends the purpose of the playlist. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's material I want to learn or I'm trying to learn. So then it's just like, well, okay, as it comes to me, we're just going to keep the list going. Or sometimes I'll kind of start on a theme. Like, I have different playlists for different moods. I've got, like, my hip-hop one. I've got one that's kind of, like, pumped up rock music. Then I got another more mellow. So those, sometimes I'll go back and rearrange the order. But for the most part, I know it's on it, so I just kind of. But if I'm making one for someone, yeah, then that's a whole different game. That takes some time and effort and, you know, thought of what you want them to experience.
Going back to summertime again.
Yeah.
Are there songs that when you just hear them, you just go, summer vibe right there?
Oh, sure. Actually, yeah, I just went to the Dirty Heads concert at Saranac last week. That's definitely anything like California bands, that's summertime stuff for sure. Them or Sublime and Pepper and things like that. And that again is like, whoop, straight back to high school. That's, you know, I'll never forget those days, you know, when you're first driving and those were the bands I listened to. So for me, that's like a super hard connection there. But other than that, I feel like, California is always summer. So it's like, right? Of course, the California bands are going to be it. But I got to think about that, I guess.
Excellent. So as we get ready to take our first break in tonight's program, we're going to tap into one of those bands that just sounds like summer. It's a California band called the Dirty Heads, and the song we're going to play, Cabin by the Sea, if you've never heard it before, I might go so far as to say you've never heard the purest sound of summer. When I first heard this song, it just resonates with summer vibes. We'll play that for you, then we'll be back with more of our conversation with local musician Jess Novak. You're listening to Sounds of the Season on WAER Syracuse.
Support comes from California Closets on Erie Boulevard in DeWitt, working with clients to help transform spaces that change the way they live. From closets to media centers and garages, information including real-life examples of how California Closets has helped make an impact with real client stories online at californiaclosets.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sounds of the Season on WAER. I'm Kevin Kloss. This is our four-part series throughout the month of July, diving headfirst into music discovery. And we wrapped up that last break by hearing a song by our guest this evening, Jess Novak, and the song Like I Do. When we were getting ready for this conversation, you mentioned to me that your favorite artist or song kind of changes on a daily basis for you. So what's a couple of tracks that maybe you're really into now that you just, you wish more people were aware of?
Well, my playlist is a very funny thing. Whenever I go running, it's pretty much all over the map. And part of it is songs I want to learn or styles I want to get into. So right now, my kind of rotation at the moment is Adia by Sarah McLachlan, then You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette, and then a bunch of hip-hop. So I don't know, figure that one out. I've been really into Jay-Z lately. I love him. And so I've been thinking about doing a Jay-Z medley. And so I don't know. it's kind of all over the place. And then those are obviously pretty big names. But for songs and artists people should look to, I'm just a huge advocate for local. Like, it's unbelievable to me how many talented people there are, and songwriters and singers and players. So I would just say, I mean, I can't. If I give you one, I got to give you like 50. So I would say just go out and find them yourself, and you will, because they're around for sure.
I'm glad you brought up local. A few months ago, I had a chance to talk to Charlie Orlando, who's a talent buyer at Funk and Waffles, you know, local artist here as well. And we were talking about, is there a musical landscape here in Syracuse? Because some people will hold the perception there's nothing to do in Syracuse.
Yeah.
Now, Charlie's belief is that there is. People just simply aren't paying attention if they tell you that there's nothing happening here. Is there a musical landscape in Syracuse for you? Do you believe so?
So that this is a funny thing. I remember when I first went to SU, I went to graduate school here, and I asked a professor, a music professor, if there was a music scene, and he said, no, definitely not. There's nothing. And it was like devastating to me, because I was coming here to learn, you know, music journalism. So I thought, what am I going to do if there's no music scene? And then I remember working at the Blue Tusk, and I had a couple of music friends there. Like, just everybody was into music. So I had a few kind of take me by the hand and say, no, they don't know. You come to Al's, you come to Empire, you come to Dino, and we'll hook you up. Like, there's definitely stuff going on. So yes, there is. And I think it's really vibrant and it's changing all the time. But I do think the problem is that it's a smaller market here. So as a musician, I see the same faces all the time. And it kind of makes me sad, because I know there are people out there who would like my music or like other music that I enjoy. But I've never heard of that band. Like, well, why don't you give it a try? Maybe you'll love them. I mean, some of my favorite artists, like, are local. I'm partial, but I listen to Ben Wayne all the time. And there's a girl, Amanda Rogers, who, I mean, she just blows my mind. Her stuff is such a high caliber, and it's right here. You can go see her. Like, it's just unbelievable, and meet her and talk to her, and she's a great person. And so it's, to me, an opportunity missed when people just don't go after it, but it's definitely here.
So, okay, in an attempt to maybe educate someone who's listening, doesn't know who Amanda Rogers is, what's a cliff notes, if you will, on Amanda Rogers?
She is an amazing pianist, singer, songwriter, and I like her because she has this very sweet voice, but some of her stuff is, like, again, in that vein of, like, super powerful female, like, just ripping hard, incredible lyrics that are just not all fluff or all love and this and that. It's like deep. It's meaningful. It's powerful. And they're lasting songs. Like, she has a few, you know how you have a song that you go back to. When you're sad, this is what you listen to. Or when you're mad, those are her songs for me. You know, that's a big moment when you find an artist that you know that is local, that has songs that just last, that stand the test of time. I mean, one of her albums, Wild, I could listen to that every day, you know. That's amazing to me. It's that good, really that good.
So we've given them a few names. Can you give us just, let's give the listeners a couple of names. Someone who maybe they would see on the list and they'd go, I don't know who this is. But you would say, you don't know the name, but you will love the music.
Yeah. So obviously I'm a huge fan of Amanda Rogers. She's great. Ashley Cox and Professional Victims, I think, are really good and do different stuff. Strange to Look At is a newer band that's just totally wild and different. I think Ben Wayne is, like, one of the best songwriters around here. Spring Street's out there. BSG's going on. There's just – and then, like, all the players within those bands. And so that's really cool. I play with a couple of members of Atkins Riot, and I think, I mean, Anthony played one of those songs, a guitar player, and I thought it was a Jack White song. Like, so that tells you where they're at, and you know, their songwriting and the delivery of the song. So it's, I think that's the coolest thing when you hear a song, and I've been told the same thing. Like, somebody was like, I heard you play the song. I thought it was like an old Aretha Franklin tune. Like, wow, that's the most amazing thing you could say. That, you, I mean, that's incredible. For a songwriter, that's the goal. You want something sounding like that. So that's happening here all the time.
Awesome. Now, you've got a connection to who I'll refer to as sort of an emerging artist who you mentioned to me off the air. I looked into her. I enjoy it. What can you tell me about Kitty Crimes?
Oh, my God, that's so funny. So that's my cousin Maria. it's really funny because, like I said, our kind of family thing, it was odd because our parents, both her and I, are not overly musical. But I don't know. It's just in the blood sometimes. And so I remember as kids, Maria and I were always like, not writing songs, but just creative. It just always was there. And so it wasn't a surprise to me when she started like playing more and more. And then I watched her career really take off. And now she's always flying to LA or moved to LA and just playing all these festivals. And she is so unique. She can play every instrument. And her raps are just like, you know, now like what? They're just amazing. And she's so different to be a female delivering what she is, the way she's doing it. And so I just love watching her go. She's inspiring to me.
Along with vacations and road trips, summertime, a good chance to reconnect with some family. So only fitting now that as we head into our break, we'll play a song from Jess's cousin. She goes by the name Kitty Crimes, and this is the song Cold Water. But stay with us when we come back from a couple songs and a quick break. We'll have more of our conversation with local musician Jess Novak. You're listening to Sounds of the Season on WAER Syracuse, your local NPR station from Syracuse University.
WAER is happy to be part of your community, but we realize that a lot of times you're on the go. Or maybe you can't connect with WAER. And that's why we've developed the WAER mobile app, so you can take us with you wherever you go. Stream our broadcast, browse our website, and listen to the latest on-demand audio. Available in the Apple and Google Play Store. Just search for WAER.
Welcome back to Sounds of the Season on WAER. I'm Kevin Kloss, and this evening we're talking with local musician Jess Novak about music discovery. In that last break, we heard a song by Amanda Rogers and the song Blue. You've heard Jess sort of mention her as an active member of the local Syracuse community. So, Jess, I'm curious, as we dive back into conversation, you've been active in the music community for a number of years now. I'm curious, how, if at all, have you seen the music scene changing here in Syracuse?
Locally,
And no is an okay answer if it's remained the same.
I don't think it has, though. I think it keeps expanding. I think every year that passes with internet and just the way we consume things being different, people are able to be influenced by so much more. And I think it trickles right down to people around you all the time. Because when I first started in music, yeah, it was singer-songwriters. It was a lot of blues artists, a couple of hip-hop. But that was kind of what I wrote about. Lots of blues rock here. And now, I mean, no, the biggest bands around here are all reggae and, you know, all over the place. So I definitely think it has expanded. And I think it just seems like there's more people doing it to me. And that could be wrong. Maybe they were always there, but it just seems like, I mean, I could add, you know, there's 20 people playing tonight that are, you know, so that to me feels like growth. So, yeah, I think there is a change.
I know you've had at least one piece, maybe more, but one that I was aware of in Syracuse Women magazine about being a female in the music industry. First, I'm just curious how that came about, you with that magazine. And then, is that something that you take pride in?
The article came about accidentally, so that's funny. Lorna, the editor at the magazine, and I worked together. She was she worked at the New Times with me. And it was really cool to see her kind of grow out of that and then go become an editor. And it was really exciting. And she messaged me asking if I would just write a story about being a female in music. I was like, of course, I would love to. So that's combining me being a writer and a female musician. And so thought that's really cool. And then like a week or two or something before they had to go to print, she messaged me again and said, so our cover story fell through. You want to be it? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Okay. So we like made it happen and it came out really well. I think it was a really cool idea to have the cover story about someone, but then have them write as well. I think that's a very rare thing. So it was really cool to do that. But the story and being a female musician, I think it's important to talk about that, pretty much talking about change too. When I started at the New Times as a music just editor and journalist, I remember being upset because it was like 9.5 out of 10 stories were about men every time. And then the few women I remember speaking to, it also really upset me because they didn't even write the songs and they didn't play an instrument. And so it's fine if you're a vocalist, but for everyone to be a vocalist, like you never picked a guitar, really, ever? And so it made me really upset to see it, that I was always talking to men and it was always this and always this. And I just thought it's, 2010 or whatever it was at the time. And like, isn't it time that women like are a little more present? And then I noticed it when I did start playing out. I remember so distinctly playing in Florida and I had so many people come up to me on one tour specifically that were like, I've never seen a woman do this. Like, I was like, Bonnie Raitt? How long has she been around? Like, what do you mean? Seeing a girl play guitar or take a solo or like write a song. What mm-hmm. do you mean? But it was just mind-blowing to me that it was still like that. And so I'm encouraged by all these programs like School of Rock, where I worked at the School of Rock for a while and I saw tons of little girls like rocking really hard, playing bass, playing piano, playing whatever they wanted to. And so I see that there is a shift now, but a huge motivation for me to really pursue music was because I was just mad. I was just sick of seeing dudes take it over all the time, and that doesn't make it easier now. I don't think people understand how deep the stereotypes are and how, every time I walk into a bar, they think I'm carrying it for my boyfriend, and it's like, still? Or they say, oh, so you're the singer. It's like, still? Or it's called the Jess Novak Band, and they won't talk to me, like, because I can't be in the Jess Novak Band. Like, what? It's just so crazy.
Does a lot of that still exist, you think?
Totally. Totally. And just this, I see this behavior a lot. It's just men act differently towards women. Okay, that's a given. But in a working environment that's not, I'm sure it happens actually in the workplace as well, but just less respect just all the way around. They do things that they wouldn't do to a man. They would be afraid of how a man would react, or, what they would say. But when a woman reacts the same way, it is still like, oh, she's just a, It's just mind-blowing to me because it shouldn't – it's time for that to be done and just move forward, and you can't force it. It's just gotta happen, and I think it's a slow change, and hopefully it's – I mean, Me Too and all that stuff is helping, mm-hmm. but there's, like, a lot wrong with that whole situation, and it just – I don't know. I feel frustrated by it often, but I'm hoping it's, like, continuing to change, and I think it is.
So, Jess, if people pick up a copy of Fireworks and Fairy Tales, they'll see track 4, Treat Me Right.
Yes.
I got to know a little bit about it.
Yeah. This song is really funny. It's when Pitch Perfect, was it, came out maybe, where she did the cup song? Is that what it was? I don't know. I never saw the movie, which is even funnier. But everybody told me, you have to do this song, the Anna Kendrick song. You have to do it. So I remember I was bartending at the time and I watched a YouTube video and kind of sort of learned it. It's like, whatever, you flip a cup around, make a beat. Okay, that's close enough. I can sing the song to this. And it's funny because little kids will still correct me now, like, no, that's not how it goes. Whatever, it's close enough. So I started doing it and everybody asked for it every show. Everybody wants a cup song. So eventually I was like, what am I doing? Why don't I just write my own cup song? So I'm giving them their cup thing, but like pushing my music out there. So I'm a big fan of Nikki Bloom, and I remember someone saying it sounded like a Nikki Bloom tune, which was a huge, huge compliment. So I wrote this song called Treat Me Right a long time ago and with the cup. And I mean like 2013, like way back. And so it just kind of sat on the shelf because I was like, it's so, whatever, it's weird. And then I sent it to Jose Verona, who produced Fireworks and Fairy Tales. And he listened to all the tracks we sent, like, for possibilities for the album. And he was like, that's the one. That's the song. I was like, are you serious? It's just like me in a cup. He's like, no, that's the one. So what we did was when we brought in the studio, we added upright bass. Joey Arcuri from Driftwood just killed it. Literally walked in and was like, oh, yeah, here we go. We just did it. And then the guys, it was a really funny day when they brought in the beer bottles. And then they tuned them. So there's beer bottles on the track. So like blowing into them.
Very cool.
Which is wild. And then me with a cup on a guitar case and singing. And we brought in these gospel singers and a little bit of percussion. And it was just, it's wild. I'm so proud of that song. And we made a music video for it too, so you can see kind of all the pieces of it.
Jess Novak, thanks so much for being part of this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And so as we head out tonight, I think we'll play that song Jess was just referencing off of Fireworks and Fairy Tales, Treat You Right. I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening and being a part of this music discovery program. As a reminder, you can go back and listen to part one of this series last week when we talked to Syracuse University professor David Yaffe. He had a lot of good insight into where the musical landscape is currently and laid a lot of the foundation for the conversation this week and moving forward. You've been listening to Sounds of the Season. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode Friday night at 8 p.m. You're listening to WAER Syracuse, your local NPR station from Syracuse University. Good night.